Hello, and welcome to the EPIF Full Year 2023 Results Conference Call. My name is Alex, and I'll be coordinating the call today. If you'd like to ask a question at the end of the presentation, you can press star one on your telephone keypad, or you can type your question into the Q&A chat box at the top of your screen. I'll now hand it over to your host, CEO Gary Mazzotti, to begin. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Alex, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the financial results of 2023 for EP Infrastructure. I'm joined today, as always, with Václav Pelíček, the Group Finance Director of EPIF. My name is Gary Mazzotti. I'm the Chief Executive Officer and Vice Chairman of the Board of Directors. For those that follow EPIF, you know that I always like to have a phrase that describes each financial year. So for those of you that are waiting, 2023, I will summarize as cleaning up a black swan took hard work, as predicting one was nigh impossible. If we move to page five, we have the executive summary. EP Infrastructure continues to be a leading Central European group, which operates traditional energy infrastructure assets. Our core activities remain transmission, distribution, and storage of gas, distribution of electricity, and provision of district heating. We continue to be located predominantly in Slovakia and the Czech Republic, low-risk and developed countries. We also have a continuing presence in Germany. Our strategy remains to operate regulated or long-term contracted assets, which have a critical feature of converting a substantial part of operating result into cash flow. Now, without any further ado, I'll move to the actual numbers themselves. Financial year 2023, EPIF Group achieved the following results. Consolidated revenues were 4.3 billion euros, up from 4 billion euros in 2022. The adjusted EBITDA of the group was 1.217 billion euros, down from 1.455 billion euros. This is a highly pleasing, consistent, and reliable result if we exclude the risk mitigation measures taken in 2023 in our transit division, which we will discuss fully later. On a proportionate EBITDA, our EBITDA was 700 million euros, down from 875 million in 2022. Our proportionate net leverage stood at 2.7x, down from 2.9x in 2022, as we continued to restrict dividend payments from the group. The adjusted free cash flow bounced nicely to 1.016 billion euros from 736 million euros, as the extra margining costs of 2022 unwound specifically into 2023. The group conversion of cash, therefore, bounced very nicely to a very healthy level of 83%. The results for the financial year 2023, as I said, was impacted by one-off risk mitigation measures taken by Eustream. Despite challenges posed by results of COVID-19 pandemic and the geopolitical tensions which continue to exist, the group's resilience was bolstered, and the diversification across our gas and power chains continued to be very evident. If we move to point six, we have the key company highlights. Many of these are standard from prior year. I'll just move quickly to point nine, which is the commitment to maintain and reestablish our investment-grade ratings. We were very pleased in 2023 that our IG ratings from Standard & Poor's and Fitch were moved to stable, and we even managed to get Moody's now to have us on a positive outlook. If we then move to page eight, here the group structure remains as it has been for many years now: gas transmission, gas and power distribution, gas storage, and heat infra. The business continues to be a joint venture between Macquarie's MEIF5 Infrastructure Fund and other institutional co-investors, and EPH, which is one of the largest energy production companies in Europe. On the right-hand side, we confirm the ratings of the countries we operate. We confirm that our companies are predominantly owned in joint venture with the Slovak Republic. The group's assets are nicely negatively correlated. Our IG ratings have improved dramatically over 2023, and our adjusted EBITDA numbers, free cash flow, cash conversion is reiterated for you at the bottom, with comparisons to prior years. On page 9, we bridge our results, and here clearly you can see, in gas transmission, the cost of risk mitigation. For those of you who know the company, you know that the company had a hedge book in 2022 when the Russian invasion of Ukraine took place. We also saw significantly lower volatility in energy markets in 2023 and much significantly reduced energy prices, which reverted our heat infra business back to being essentially a heat infra business. If we move to page 10, this gives a very broad view of the group. Gas transmission's results dropped from 324 million euros to 139 million euros on the back of risk mitigation measures. We can confirm that the main contract of the group, which is ship or pay to 2028, remains in full force and paid fully according to the contract. We shipped in 2023, 16.1 BCM of gas. Gas and power distribution continued to overperform. Our EBITDA rose from 556 million euros to 596 million euros. This was on the back of an extremely consistent result from our two main DSOs in gas and in electricity, but also a good performance from the supply businesses, which are also held within this division. Gas storage had a super result from 365 million euros from 379 million euros. For those that follow the group, you will know that this is probably now a group that relies heavily on strategic storage and the requirements of the European Union for storages to be 90% full on the 1st of November of each calendar year. Heat infra results dropped from 198 million euros to 124 million euros. Václav will discuss this more when we get to the actual section. But in essence, low volatility and low electricity prices means that this division returned to its core infrastructure business of heat distribution to three large conurbations in the Czech Republic. If we move to page 11, we're delighted. We reinforced our transition strategy. We made new robust commitments, and indeed we issued in 2023 our green finance framework, which will link all future financing to our transition. The key points during 2023, Václav will go into this in more detail in district heating with regards to our plans to convert to hydrogen-ready CCGTs. But in overall terms, hydrogen-related projects are now in place across gas midstream and downstream infrastructure. Project Henry at Nafta is aimed at identification of suitable sites for hydrogen storage, and Project H21TR at Ustream is aimed at repurposing one gas pipeline for transit of pure hydrogen, granted the IPCEI status. In May of 2023, we supported our strategy by announcing a strong set of medium and long-term targets to achieve carbon neutrality by 2040, net zero from our operations by 2050, a phase-out fully of coal by 2030, reduction of our CO2 emissions by 60% by 2030 compared to 2022 levels. We also committed to reduce our methane emissions in line with the Global Methane Pledge by 2030, and we have addressed the Scope 3 footprint of the group by commencing full disclosure for the year 2024. To confirm, the green finance framework was therefore issued, linked to our financing, and we also were successful in soliciting second-party opinions on this framework, one of which was from Shades of Green, which is now part of S&P Global, which assigned a light green shading. Very happy with this, as this is the first time they expressed such a green shading on the transition to gas. And Sustainable Fitch also assigned a qualification to good to our free framework. That will go into more details on this, but we also in March 2024 issued our first green Schuldschein loan of 285 million euros. If we move to page 12, we summarise E, S and G. Key points from this is that we still retain a 19.8 ESG risk rating from Morningstar Sustainalytics, which places us in the low risk category, and S&P Global, we retain 63 out of 100 for our ESG rating. So not only did we have a highly satisfactory financial year, I think we have made significant steps forward on our ESG transition story. The management team remains as is. The chairman of the board remains Daniel Kretinsky, and all management has been in place now for a significant number of years. So that's the introduction of the financial year 2023. And now it's my pleasure to hand over to Václav Palacek, the Group Finance Director. Václav.
Thank you, Gary. Warm welcome also on my behalf to everyone on this call. I have been very much looking forward to delivering you 2023 results, including update on our capital structure and our liquidity position as of December 2023. As usual, the figures that we are showing in the presentation have been derived from our audited consolidated IFRS accounts that are available on our website in the investor section, where you can also find the presentation, a press release, and following to this call, we will make available a recording of the call. Now, without further ado, let's start with the results presented on slide number 15. Despite challenging market dynamics that Gary described, we achieved strong results in 2023 with adjusted EBITDA at the level of 1,217,000,000, which is minus 16% year-on-year. And this decline is primarily due to impact of one-off risk mitigation measures taken by EUStream by 2023. Gary already described the operational performance of each individual segment when he took us through slides number 9 and 10, so I will not repeat that and move further within the P&L statement to depreciation, amortization, impairment, which is figure year-on-year comparable with the variance driven primarily by 34 million impairment charge recorded in 2022. Then finance result, we are moving from a net profit of plus 9 million in 22 to a net loss of minus 35 million, and this is primarily due to recording accounting gain from revaluation of interest rate swaps in 2022 on the back of then rising interest rates. The major portion of the finance result relates to interest expense, which was 92 million plus 2 million year on year, and it's to major extent driven by interest related to seven-hour Eurobonds issued across the group, with a fixed coupon and average interest rate on those bonds of 1.8%, which provides decent stability and predictability of our cash flows. And lastly, I would like also to mention that there is one new significant item within our finance result, and this is interest income of 48 million, which is up by 42 million from last year. And this is driven by elevated cash balances across the group, coupled with increased deposit rates provided by banks. Tax expense developed well in line with the operational performance, which I can illustrate on effective tax rate of 26.1% in 2023, while 26.6% last year, and I can confirm that we haven't suffered significantly from any new taxes, tax rates, windfall taxes, and other measures introduced by governments and regulators in the areas where we operate. However, going forward, we are aware that the Czech government is increasing corporate income tax rate by 2 percentage points to 21%. So since January 2024, this is relevant for our heating business and supply operations. However, majority of our operations are located in Slovakia. So overall, we delivered net income of 535 million, minus 24% year on year. In order to ensure prosperity of each of our segments, we continue to invest into our infrastructure, technology, and sustainability initiatives. In 2023, we invested 202 million of CapEx, which is up by 22%. In line with past trends, a major portion of CapEx was invested into the network owned and operated by our DSOs. And going forward, I would like to flag that we anticipate a significant increase in overall CapEx, which will be driven by the decarbonization. In particular, we expect to invest netto CapEx of 600 million over the period 2024 till 2030. And I'll be discussing this project when we will be talking about heat infra segment. Overall, we generated free cash flow of 1,060 million, which results in cash conversion 83%. Those figures are clearly driven by margining deposits. You might recall that in 2022, commodity prices were up and we were forced to increase our margining deposits with the power exchange. So on the slide, you can see the respective cash outflow in 2022 and inflow in 2023. If we were to adjust free cash flow for those cash flows, then we would end up with average cash conversion of 66% in both years, which is, I believe, a healthy ratio for infrastructure business. So having discussed P&L cash flows, now let's move to slide 16, which shows our balance sheet that provides insight into our financial position and health of our group. EPIF asset structure leans heavily towards property, plant and equipment, comprising 80% of our total assets. And of that value, 7.5 billion comprise gas distribution and gas transmission network that we maintain under IFRS revaluation model at their fair values. The values are regularly updated by an independent expert, and in 2023 we conducted independent revaluation of SPPD network, which yielded a revaluation gain of 592 million, which was recorded against equity revaluation reserve. Further, I would like to talk shortly about debt and cash position. As I explained, we generated free cash flow of 1,060 million, of which we paid 202 million of minority dividends. So those are payments mainly to Slovak state. Further, we serviced our debt, resulting in 86 million of interest payments. And then majority of the balance was utilized to reduce our external indebtedness. So you can see that the gross debt declined by 757 million to 3.8 billion. And at the same time, we managed to increase our cash position by 9% to almost 1.7 billion. And on the following slide, we are showing key events in 2023, and we have also some noteworthy events already in 2024. So I'll start with the dividend payments, 202 to minority shareholders, which is mainly Slovak state that owns 51% in SPPI Group and SSE Group. From those group, we distributed 376 million on dividends in 2023, of which 51% belongs to Slovak state. And then focus on the reduction of external debt. SSE repaid 100 million of its external debt, being it partially a term loan, partially drawn RCF. Then NAFTA repaid its term loan 44 million in November, while the scheduled payment was for January 2024, so a bit earlier repayment. As you know, EPIF fully repaid its RCF 400 million already during first half of 2023, and this facility is now fully undrawn, fully available. And following two results call in September, we conducted a fixed price bond tender offer, and following to that also we conducted secondary market bond buybacks, and through the buybacks and tender offer we bought 203 million of our bonds, and those bonds have been cancelled by year end 2023. Therefore, we reduced the nominal amount of April 2024 EPIF bonds to 547 million. In 2024, we focused on our liquidity facilities. In SPPI group, there were two events. Firstly, EUStream reduced its RCFs by 90 million to 50. Those facilities are maturing at the end of this year. And at the same time, we signed a new RCF at NAFTA for 200 million, and the maturity is February 2029. Also, EPIF has 50 million RCF that was maturing April 24, and we extended maturity by 2 years till April 26. Further, as of today, SPPI distributed in cash dividends to its shareholders a dividend of 271 million, of which 133 belongs to EPIF. And last but not least, as Gary mentioned, EPIF issued a green Schuldschein loan through which we received 285 million of proceeds. The transaction is a combination of 3 and 5 year money with 250 and 290 basis points over Euribor. And overall, we were very satisfied with the transaction, as we originally sold 100 million roughly financing, and we were positively surprised with the appetite to lend to EPIF. So with that summary of P&L, cash flow and balance sheet and key events, let's move to slide 18 that provides the insights into the calculation of our proportionate net leverage. Those who follow EPIF Group, you know probably this slide and this calculation by heart. So firstly, we calculate fully consolidated leverage using the figures we discussed, gross debt 3.8 billion, gross cash 1.7 billion, and then we calculate so-called proportionate calculation that takes into account actual ownership of EPIF in its subsidiaries, and it results in net proportionate leverage of 2.7 times. And this is ratio well below historical levels and also well below 3.5 times target that we established in October 2022. And currently we understand this 3.5 target is required by rating agencies for EPIF in order to maintain or re-establish investment grade rating. On the slide number 19, we are showing our legal and capital structure as of December 2023. As you know, majority of external debt is sitting at EPIF parent company level. In particular, 72% of gross proportionate debt is at EPIF, which includes 547 million of EPIF bond that is maturing in 4 weeks' time. And we intend to repay that bond using the cash that we already have. Just to indicate the liquidity that we have available, we are showing that as of December, EPIF had 461 million of cash. As I mentioned, today we are receiving 133 million of dividend proceeds from SPPI, and among other things, we received 285 million of proceeds from Schuldschein. So following to the repayment of April bond, we expect to reduce the ratio slightly from 72% to slightly below 70, which is still in line with our capital structure policy. Now looking at EPIF as a holdco entity, we have rather modest cash needs, needing roughly 10 million for our operations and roughly 50 million for interest expense. And there are three ways how to touch the cash that is generating across the group. Firstly, it's EP Energy Group. EP Energy controls subsidiaries from Heat Infra, also supply activities and SSE Group. And there is a cash pooling agreement amongst EP Energy and majority of its subsidiaries, and EPIF is part of that cash pooling, which means we can tap the cash that we have. For instance, heating business is strongly cash generative in winter, so we can make sure that there is no trapped cash within the structure. Secondly, it's direct shareholding in NAFTA through CGHI, where we have through which we hold 40% in NAFTA. Last year, we received 82 million of the dividend proceeds from NAFTA through that chain on the back of 2022 results of NAFTA. Clearly, NAFTA had similar results in 2022 and 2023, so you might make a well-educated guess how much we receive in 2024 through that stream. And thirdly, it's upstream from SPPI, which is holding that aggregates our gas business in Slovakia. In 2023, SPPI distributed 300 million to shareholders, and this year, or as of today, SPPI distributed 271 million. Those figures are on 100% basis, of which 49% belongs to EPIF. If you look at the historical levels pre-Russia war in Ukraine, SPPI distributed higher volumes, and the relative reduction is due to the fact that we support credit standing of Ustream, so Ustream limited its distributions to SPPI, and they are building the cash position. On the following slide, number 20, we are showing our gross debt and liquidity overview, again as of December 2023. I'll start with liquidity, which was represented by 1.7 billion of cash and cash equivalents and 854 million of committed undrawn revolving credit facilities. I discussed that we focus on maturity of those instruments. We extended EPIF 50 million, we obtained new 200 million at NAFTA, reduced Ustream facilities, and basically the next approaching item is EPIF 400 million RCF at this moment fully available, and it's maturing in January 2025. On the back of the results that we are just releasing, we intend to approach our financing partners, and we would like to renegotiate that contract in order to secure sufficient liquidity for EPIF. Now looking at gross debt, 95% of the debt is represented by bonds. Following to the repayment of EPIF April bonds and issuance of Schuldschein, we would reduce that ratio to 85 to 90% share, which is still in line with our capital structure policy. And if you look at the bottom left-hand chart, you will see that the next upcoming maturity is February 2025 Ustream bond issued by SPP Infrastructure Financing BV, guaranteed by Ustream. At this moment, we keep all refinancing options open, and at the same time, Ustream is building their cash position. And lastly, to conclude my section, slide 21 provides an overview of our key policies. Nothing really surprising. As I mentioned, we would like to maintain majority of our debt in bonds and similar instruments that provide stability and good visibility for our cash flows. From pricing perspective, we understand that our sweet spot is at 70% of proportionate gross debt to be sitting at EPIF level. We are right now at 72% and are gradually declining below 70. And third principle is 3.5 times leverage target currently required by rating agencies in order to maintain or re-establish investment grade rating. And now let me conclude with four objectives for EPIF for short to mid-term period. Firstly, it's clearly repayment of April 2024 EPIF bond, which I mentioned we will conduct thanks to our liquidity. Secondly, it's renegotiation of EPIF RCF, currently $400 million, fully undrawn, maturing January 2025. We would like to secure sufficient liquidity for EPIF going further. Thirdly, it's addressing February 2025 maturity for Eustream. And the last item, and this is good news to our shareholders, is restart of dividends. The last dividend we distributed was $100 million in May 2021. Since then, we have distributed nothing. However, we have delivered strong results. We have exhibited strong resilience and stability of our business model, and we have overperformed on deleverage target. So most likely we will reinitiate dividends in 2024. Most likely it will be in multiple payments, and we would be gradually getting towards 3.5 targets. Obviously, all the time we would be observing the expected performance of the group and market risks. So without rather positive news, I would conclude my section and hand over to Gary to take us through business segments.
Thank you, Václav, and I think it's very clear to our audience who does most of the work in the group. That's it. Well done, and thank you. If we move to page 23, we will look at Eustream. The EBITDA of the group dropped from €324 million to €139 million. As those who follow the company know, in 2021, in the normal course of business, Eustream had placed hedges for its excess gas into the financial years 22 and 23 primarily. This resulted in a significant material risk for the business, and therefore we put in risk mitigation measures to protect the company against this forward hedge book. I'm pleased to say that those risk mitigation measures were successful. They were expensive, but as of 31st of December 2023, gas hedges at Eustream no longer result in any risk for the business. The flows are down, but the flows of gas continue to supply the core Central Eastern European markets of Slovakia, Austria, and Hungary. We continue to have 50% of our business is covered. Annual capacity is covered by a long-term ship or pay contract until 2028. I can confirm at this date that gas flows continue and the contract continues to be paid in full and according to the contract. And that therefore is, if you like, business plan A for the business. And our present position is therefore to assume fully that this contract will be honoured through to 2028. Investors should be aware that the current five-year gas transit contract between Russia and Ukraine, which includes agreed minimum volumes of 40 BCM annually, is set to expire at the end of 2024. Russia Gazprom has an option to extend for an additional 10 years. This extension is at risk due to the current geopolitical tensions, particularly the war in Ukraine. However, there might be alternative options for the Russian gas to continue flowing via Ukraine. And whilst this is commercially sensitive, I want to sum it up that clearly the company has business plan A and the company has business plan B. I would point you strongly to the financial presentation made by Václav, and I would point you strongly to the IG stable ratings of Fitch and S&P, who I think you can assume are fully aware of Plan A and Plan B. The business continues to make extremely high cash conversion ratio, and indeed, we're particularly pleased with the results in a difficult, extremely difficult geopolitical situation. The flows continue as is. Europe has been very successful in obtaining additional sources of piped gas, predominantly from Northern Africa, and LNG predominantly from the US, from Qatar, and indeed from Russia itself. And that then moves us to page 25, which is gas storage. Gas storage division is something that we continue to be extremely pleased with. Those people that have followed us for many years know that gas storage continues to be seen as a priority for us, because we indeed felt that this asset would become strategic for gas needs in Europe. I believe now, looking at these results, €365 million, that our belief, our strategic belief in these assets have been verified. In fact, according to the EU's gas storage regulation, underground gas storage facilities across the EU have to be filled for at least 90% of its capacity by 1st of November. Clearly, this is beneficial for the gas storage business, and we believe will be beneficial for the gas storage business through the medium and indeed the long term. I'll move to page 26 and pass over to Václav to go through gas and power distribution.
Thank you, Gary. So on slides 26, 27, we are showing the key highlights for the segment. The segment is represented by, namely, by two DSOs, SPPD, which is nature monopoly gas distributor in Slovakia, the most gasified country in Europe, and SSD, which is nature monopoly power distributor in central Slovakia. Both DSOs have commonality of relatively high cash flow generation, relatively low capex needs, and relatively low leverage. Despite the decline in volumes for both DSOs, both companies delivered strong results in 2023, and this is partially thanks to fairly supportive regulatory environment in Slovakia. We are in a new regulatory period that commences in January 2023, and there are several elements that are positive for our businesses, and I would like to slightly touch upon them. So firstly, for gas distribution business, the regulator for the new regulatory period, he introduced a separate tariff for losses with a clear pass-through principle. So it's clearly beneficial for DSO, and it's also beneficial for end consumers who, on their bill, can see the split of their cost into the payment for distribution service and also payment for network losses, which is primarily driven by the commodity price. Further, and regulator embedded into the regulation correction mechanism for volume losses for gas distribution. So again, very positive for us. Regulator increased WACC to 5.24% for gas distribution. And in terms of power distribution, we are still exposed to volume risks, though this is to a great extent mitigated by the fact that a major portion of the tariff is fixed. And in terms of tariff, the regulator also increased WACC to 5.18% with the possibility to increase the WACC further on the back of rising market rates. In addition, the regulator introduced a so-called premium WACC, additional 2 percentage points over standard WACC, and it relates to innovative projects to support investment into the network in line with Slovak energy legislation. So overall, on the back of strong 2023 results and those elements I described, I believe that gas and power distribution will represent stable and resilient part of EBIF's operation. Now on slide 28, we are showing highlights for heat infra business that experienced a strong drop of its operational performance from almost 200 million to 124 million in 2023. It was on the back of normalization of the power market. So due to the reduced power spreads, we had to reduce the output by 40%, and we generated 1.5 terawatt hours of electricity in 2023. If you look at the spread that we are seeing at the market right now, it's clear that the segment will remain purely a district heating entity with much lower results than those achieved in 2023. So the economics, along with our ESG targets, are the reasons for the decarbonization of the segment. So we are committed to reduce our carbon emissions by 60% and abandon coal by 2030, and it will be conducted through a new fleet of gas-fired power plants combined with biomass technology and waste-to-energy. Those gas-fired power plants will be able to combust renewable gases, therefore emission neutral, as well as hydrogen. We estimate gross capex for those projects at the level of 1.3 billion, and we expect 700 million of subsidies through the EU's modernization fund, in particular the heat program for decarbonization of the Czech heating industry. We have already submitted our request for subsidies. Portion of them we get already granted. So we believe that we will be able to get all those projects up and running by 2030, and hopefully the final investment decisions for those projects will be done still this year. And with that positive note, Gary, back to you for wrap-up by CEO.
Thank you, Václav. So thank you for joining us. We will move quickly to Q&A. To summarize the year, or to summarize the last 2 years, cleaning up a black swan took hard work. Predicting one was nigh impossible. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank all of the operating companies. The resilience of the group was confirmed again by a solid performance in the financial year 2023, which followed an exceptional year in financial 2022, despite continued deterioration of the transmission segment. We have built up a substantial liquidity position with 1.7 billion of cash and cash equivalents and 854 million of undrawn credit facilities. Our proportionate net leverage ratio dropped to 2.7, well below the targets notified to the market, and our commitment to maintaining a financial profile consistent with investment grade, I believe, has now been fully proved. Our infrastructure remains leading position, critical and co-owned by Slovakia. Our portfolio remains diversified, which has shown that we have strong natural hedges between each division. The gas storage has been confirmed that our strategy was correct, with increased importance to the group, and has played a substantial role in mitigating the deteriorated performance of gas transmission. A significant part of our EBITDA remains regulated or long-term contracted. As Václav said, we intend to restore dividends in part and partially throughout 2024, sticking to our covenants of 3.5. The dividend decisions will continue to be made consistently with the gas transit contract between Russia and Ukraine expiring at the end of 24. EPIF and its subsidiaries will keep monitoring the current situation on the market. But I can only concur and conclude that the last 2 years has shown a significant resilience and strength of EPIF, and I'm very, very happy. And with that, we shall pass to Q&A, please.